We hear that message throughout our readings today. That message that from the first reading from Sarah, God hears the prayers of the lowly. In our responsorial psalm, God hears the poor, the cries of the poor. These things that we have heard in the readings today are all about our relationship. And Jesus' audience for that gospel today, the gospel parable, are those whose relationship between God and others is disordered. Instead of trusting in God an attitude that would establish a right relationship, they trust in themselves. They're self-righteous. They have an excessive focus on themselves that becomes a contempt for others. Those who are self-righteous need others to look down on, to maintain that. Their elevated sense of self cuts their relational ties with God and with others. Therefore, the self-righteous live with a separate sense of self that is neither indebted to God nor connected to neighbor. This parable shows this negative state, but it provides an alternative. The story consists of two ways. It contrasts two ways of praying. The Pharisee's prideful and isolated attitude permeates his prayer. Although he begins by thanking God, he immediately promotes himself, rather realizing who he is truly indebted to. If he gives any real thanks, it's only appreciation for making him superior, not like other people. Although the Pharisee may be addressing God, he's really talking to himself. He repeats the pronoun I four times, placing himself at the center of his prayer. The Pharisee's praise of his virtues highlights his excessive egocentricity. He compliments himself on his over-the-top perfection. He goes well beyond what the laws prescribe, tithing, fasting, more than what is required. In his mind, his zealous practice makes him special and separates him from the common man. The far-off tax collector is proof positive to him that he is not like other men. For the Pharisee in his prayer, the real action is between him and the tax collector, not between him and God. For God is the focus of all genuine prayer. But for the Pharisee, he is receded into the background. He's placed him in the background. Just as the introduction of the parable is predicted, the Pharisee is simultaneously trusting in himself and berating others. Both of these attitudes go hand in hand. Now the tax collector, he is a study in contrast. Whatever the Pharisee is, he is not. He does not arrogantly stand in a prominent place, but stands humbly at a distance. He doesn't push his own achievements, but stands bowing in reverence and beats his breast in repentance. The words of his prayer acknowledge only the merciful God and then his own unworthiness. He takes note of no one else. He simply opens his unworthiness to God's divine mercy. Now, in modern or humanist religious thought, we see two men praying as what befits their station. The Pharisees were admired in the community. They were among the holy men. And the tax collector was despised, for he took money from others. He took that and gave that to the Romans and skimmed off for himself. The Pharisee, the prominent person, keeps God's law and actually goes beyond it. He's grateful to God for his superiority. So what is the problem? Giving the measuring stick of the law, the truth is that he is better than other men. He meets the law. In particular, he's better than the tax collector. who works for the Romans, making his own people suffer. The tax collector is obviously in a more imperiled situation, and mercy is exactly what he should be praying for. God knows, given his blasphemous life, he needs it. But here's the obvious conclusion according to this, the humanist religious thought. Everyone prays according to where they are. And this is a story of two men praying. Both are doing it right according to their station, given who they are. However, that is not what Jesus teaches us. The Pharisee has done it wrong, and the tax collector has done it right. Prayer is not dependent on people and circumstances. Prayer only results in justification when we properly position ourselves in relationship to God and with neighbor. And in this, the tax collector represents an ideal form of Christian prayer. Jesus focuses on that contrast between Pharisee and tax collector, between exaltation and humility. In these contrasting models of prayer, we see freedom exercised, freedom to direct our thinking and acting. Those who exalt themselves and those who humble themselves. When we're engaged in ego-centered, self-exalting prayer, we alienate ourselves to both God and neighbor. If our prayer does not significantly acknowledge God and God alone as the source for all goodness, we cut ourselves off from the flow of grace that grounds every good work we accomplish. We're also cut off from our neighbor because we have that prized, elevated status, and it can only be supported by those whom we judge as not being as righteous as we are. Putting down others becomes necessary in order to raise ourselves up. When we think of ourselves and act for ourselves, we break our relationship with God and neighbor. Choosing self-exaltation will always prove to be a false way of relating to God and neighbor. When we look at who we really are and stop exalting ourselves to an ideal that we have conceived, it's no longer possible to maintain that high estimation of ourselves, because we will fall. We will see that we don't meet that. Our ungrounded self-exaltation will collapse under the weight of its falseness, its false-headedness. And there's an alternative to the negative state, that negative state of self-exaltation. We must crush the Pharisee in all of us through a conversation of mind and behavior that makes it possible for us to receive our Lord and receive his good news. We must choose this direction, and this choosing is shown in our prayer. Pray with a consciousness of dependency on God and solidarity with our neighbor. This double sensitivity properly orders reality. We are dependent creatures, making us one with all others who only live through the creating activity of God. But more significantly, in the light of the parable today, we know we are one with all who have lost their way, all sinners. In words, everyone else. When we pray, trying to establish our worth, our holiness, outside of God's divine love, we lose our way. Therefore, mercy is the only prayer that is both authentic to our experience and to trust in the infinite reaches of God's divine love. It is the need of an openness to mercy that unites us to all people. This humble position of calling on the mercy of God is oneness with all other sinful people, and it begins with this, a process of exaltation. So, my brothers and sisters, let us trust in God, acknowledge our sinfulness to him, and humbly ask him for what we need, allowing our open and waiting hearts to receive his flowing grace.